everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the International Forecaster when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai. You are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, our President George Bush said that what Americans want, though, is jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. These authorities all recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not now and never has been measured in employment, such as jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. The money is not in public business or jobs, jobs, jobs. Now it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect those benefits of the Old Covenant contract. And to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property. Instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for information on my CD Homeschool for Adults and order my free general law CD package at the same time. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free of charge. You can call right now and order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, the last couple of programs we've been talking about the International Forecaster. And in the last program, we took up the subject of inflation. I said there were 15 stories in the International Forecaster that you're not going to hear and you're not going to read in USA Today or in the Wall Street Journal. You're not going to see it on the CBS Evening News. But you will read it in the International Forecaster, the Privateer, the Money Changer, or you'll hear it from Don McIlvaney. There are a number of underground, I call them underground, they're actually not illegal, but they're what we call right-wing reactionary publications. These are people who are contrarians. In the stock market, if you're going against the market, you're called a contrarian. It's the other side of the debate. Now, when we watch Paul Tsongas on the PBS business programs, we hear the official government, the official business, the official Wall Street mantra. Is there any other side to the story? I mean, when you're watching the Main Street or mainstream media, they're telling you to buy stocks and bonds. They're telling you to buy houses and invest in the economy. And the economy is growing at 3.5% a year. I showed you the last program. Inflation, boys and girls, is running 10% a year. Hell, it's running 5.3% a year. And that's what the government's preaching. And I showed you the government's lying to us. Have been for many years. And as a businessman, I watch these numbers. These numbers are very important. The truth of the matter is, these numbers are just as important to me as they are to Donald Trump. These numbers are just as important for George Gordon and you and everybody else in America as they are for Warren Buffett. Unfortunately, the average Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife doesn't pay attention to economics or economic numbers. And that's because they're mysterious. We went to public school. We were educated. They gave us a piece of paper. Remember that? They said, "You are smart." Hell, some of us have degrees after our names. You know, we've got letters like MD and LLD and so on and so forth. PhD. And what does all that mean? Does that make you very smart because you got a PhD? You really know what's going on, do you? Now, I'm not saying that the government or that the economic forecasters are lying to you all the time. They don't. They tell you the truth 75% of the time. The economy is really growing at 3.4%. What they're not telling you is inflation runs at 5.3. Let me make the computation here. Take 5.3 and then take away from that, would they say, 3.4. 3.4, we'll just hit subtraction, and that's 1.9. The economy is losing. The economy is contracting at the rate of 1.9% a year. That's called recession, boys and girls. That's not growth. Furthermore, our new Federal Reserve man, we call him Helicopter Bernanke, said that if necessary to prevent a deflation, that they would drop $100 bills out of helicopters. Well, that's kind of a euphemistic methodology or way of explaining or saying to you, we're going to continue the liquidity binge that we've been on for the last 5 years. We're going to finance government. We're going to finance the rebuilding of New Orleans with borrowed money. Now, they can monetize the debt. You can create money. You can just write IOUs and take them out and pass them around. Now, when people get enough IOUs, they won't take them anymore. That's what happened in Germany in 1923. That's what's going to happen here. It's called hyperinflation. That's bad news for everybody. I'd rather have a depression than hyperinflation. Now, I'm not going to stop the madness that's going on around me. But I don't have to participate in it, and I can take action today, which will, to some degree, ameliorate the effects that are surely to fall upon me and you and everybody else around us. And that's what I've been suggesting, is that we inform ourselves, and there are other people that can help to inform you. I try to do my little part over here on the air, but there are others that share my views. I'm not the only right-wing, radical, reactionary, contrarian in the world. There's four or five others. And, of course, nobody pays attention to the guy that says, a ship that is steaming at 23 knots straight into 5,000 square miles of icebergs is courting disaster. Now, if you'd have told the captain of the Titanic that statement, he'd have looked at you and said, "Who the hell are you? What the hell do you know about sailing ships? I've been a ship's captain. I've been a mariner for 40 years. And I'm the captain of the Titanic, and I know what I'm doing." Besides that, you're riding on the unsinkable Titanic. I mean, that's the way life is, and we look to our paid professionals. So, you know, we like to listen to Paul Tsongas, and he tells us, you know, here's what's going on. We like to watch CNN, and CNN tells us, well, here's the state of the economy, and we believe the numbers that our government gives us. I mean, after all, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? Now, the international forecaster doesn't talk just about inflation or just about numbers. There's other stories in here that also impact upon us. One of the stories deals with this thing of illegal immigration. Now, there's a political warfare going on in California again, and the Terminator is at the head of the pack. He recently vetoed SB 60. It's a bill that would have provided driver's licenses for 3 million illegal aliens. As payback, Democratic leaders are urging illegal alien supporters and others to join with labor and civil rights organizations to defeat Proposition 74, 75, 76, and 77 in statewide special elections. There, measures would limit teacher job rights, union campaign contributions, state funding and other services, and would reapportion congressional districts. What politicians cannot get through their heads is that illegal aliens are felons under the law, and the law says they have to be deported. If you go to Mexico as a foreigner, and if you want to stay, you have to get an annual renewable visa. If you do not, you are ejected from the country. Now, the only way to solve the illegal alien problem is to police our border, making sure that no new illegals arrive, and then send the illegals and their families back from where they came, from institute a rapid process for reentry that rewards the industrious and non-criminal, as in Mexico, we must enforce our laws. Now, a Florida pro-immigration economist at the University of Florida, his name is David Denslow, he found a net cost of $1,800 per year to the state of Florida for every illegal immigrant family that is residing there. Denslow's academic credentials and political track record add credibility to his findings. He's a distinguished service professor, a registered Democrat who voted for President Bush in 2000, but against him in 2004. He was an advisor to Republican Governor Bob Martinez in the 1980s. And he says that his $1,800 figure would be close to the national figure if his figure is correct and there are 20 million illegal aliens in the country. That is costing Americans $36 billion a year. Now, very few of these illegal aliens file tax returns, although they do pay Social Security under false numbers, which has put $450 billion in the Social Security Suspense Fund. Now, why should Americans be saddled with this burden, and why are we allowing our Congress and George and the neocons to do this to us? Now, the ordinary guy says, boy, that just makes me mad as hell, and I'm going to write a letter to my senator. Well, let me tell you where the political realities are here, boys and girls. The political realities are these. Those Mexicans or Central Americans will come here to the States and work for minimum wage. They will work hard, and they will do the work that is change the beds and the bed linens, and they will do the farm labor and all of the heavy work in the country that we, who have been to college and have degrees after our names, don't want to do. Now, if you're a contractor, and I'm an old-timey contractor, and I want to go out, and I'm in the tree service business, and I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I go to your house, and I say, well, I'm going to remove that tree for $1,800 for you. Well, the Davy Tree Service comes along and says, hell, we will remove that tree for $1,200 for you. Who are you going to hire, Davy Tree or Georgie Gordon? Okay, well, I lost the contract. That $400 difference in the removal of that tree from your yard is going to make the difference between you're saying to yourself, what do I care what the logo on this guy's truck says, Davy Tree Service or Gordon Tree Service? I'm going to save $400 by going with Davy. All right, so Davy goes out, and on the street corner on O Street, north side of the rail yards, There's a shelter there, and every morning at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 8 o'clock, there will be about 50 to 100 Mexicans standing out there. None of them speak English. They're all standing there. And the guy, the foreman from the Davy Tree Company, drives up in his pickup. He holds up his fingers, because he probably doesn't speak Spanish. He holds up three fingers, and 16 guys rush up to his pickup. And he points to the three guys that he wants, you, you, and you. They jump in the back of the pickup. And he drives off in the pickup with these three illegal aliens. Now, the truth of the matter is we don't know if these guys are legal or illegal, and we're not asking. What do we care? Now, I'm hiring guys that are white, 21, and I'm paying these guys $8, $10, and if he's a climber, $25 an hour. If he's on the ground, I'm paying him $10 an hour. And I've got the same expenses for diesel fuel and gasoline and truck payments and insurance as the Davy Tree Company. But you see, the Davy Tree Company is hiring these three guys and they're paying a minimum wage. They're paying them $5 an hour. These three guys are costing Davy Tree Company $15 an hour, and the three guys I have on my crew are costing me $50 an hour. Can you see what's going on here, boys and girls? I got a climber, and then I got two guys working on the ground. I'm paying $20 to the guys on the ground, and I'm paying $25 to my climber over here. Now, these are prevailing American wages in the tree service industry, and I got to have $1,600 to cut this tree out. And Davy Tree Service over here, now they've cut their overhead down by quite a bit on the labor. They come out, they remove the tree. There's not going to be any difference in the work, per se. They're going to cut the tree down, they're going to remove it, and load it in a truck, and haul it away. You're going to write them a check for $1,200. Davy got the job, and I didn't. Now, multiply that by millions of times all over America. You want it because it saves you $400. Davy Tree Company wants it because it saves them $400. They get the contract, make the same profit as I would have made, but I would have paid more money to my men. Now, the difference is those three Mexicans are going to send that money that they make back to Mexico and add to the balance of payments deficit. I was going to pay my men who were going to go down and buy a new Chevy pickup. They were going to spend some money down in the bar. They're going to spend their money here in the States. They're going to pay taxes and Social Security and so on. Now, multiply that times 20 million. I mean, you get 20 million of these guys in the country. You can't blame the Mexican. He's living in abject poverty, making $2 a day in Mexico. He comes to the States and gets $5 an hour. I mean, this guy has arrived in the promised land. Meanwhile, back on the farm, it's costing us, the American taxpayers, $1,800 for every one of these Mexican families that are here. And it's very common for those people to come up here from Mexico pregnant, walk into the hospital and say, hey, I'm indigent, and I'm pregnant, and I'm in labor, and they deliver the baby. The baby's born in the United States. You can't send the baby back to Mexico. They use the banker, the baby. They're called anchor babies because of our immigration laws. I'm not going to change that, boys and girls. I'm not going to change that. And it isn't my point to get you to write to your senators and representatives. Hell, they're the problem. I mean, if we wanted to stop this illegal immigration across the border, we could do it in a day. Hell, a bunch of volunteers called the Minutemen are already doing it, and they're just volunteers. I mean, hell, they haven't even got $1 billion a year budgets like the INS does and the Border Patrol. And they're doing it. Where they're working, they're stopping those guys from coming across. Now, what does this have to do for the ultimate end of America in our economics system? They are bringing it down. It's another one of the problems like derivatives, the balance of payments deficit, the avalanche of illegal aliens coming into the country, hyperinflation. And then our Congress takes away from us our bankruptcy, and then they saddle us with double the minimum payments on our credit cards. I mean, you know, you start adding all that up, this isn't an accident. Your government is doing this to you on purpose, and the purpose is to destroy the economy, put the entire world into chaos, and then usher in this new world government. I mean, that's where we're headed. So make up your minds to it. Now, that's going to impact upon me in the same way. Oftentimes I've thought, what if I was a German in 1943? Here I am in, let's say, Berlin, Germany. And I'm taking a look at the newspaper, and I'm reading about the reversals on the Russian front. I'm reading about the reversals in the wolf packs in the North Atlantic. I'm reading about the daily bombings by the RAF and the American Air Forces. And I say to myself, you know, if this war continues on into the indefinite future the way it is going right now in March, April, and May of 1943, we are ultimately going to lose. I don't know if it's going to be in 1943 or 44 or 45 or 46 or 47 or 48, but we cannot continue on like this and win the war. And after all, in the 1943, there were millions of Germans who could read their papers and watch the news and come to the conclusion that, yes, sir, unless something changes. Now, unless this immigration thing changes, unless Helicopter Ben Bernanke changes the helicopter drop money onto everybody liquidity theory, unless the housing deduction, you know, your interest deductions on your on the interest that you're paying on your house is continued. If you saddle the American people with all of these negatives, and I forgot to tell you, there's another story in here about what is happening to your wages. Listen to wages here, a short one. Last Friday, the Labor Department said average weekly earnings adjusted for inflation have fallen 2.7% in the 12 months through September. In spite of all of these economic problems, your real wages on average dropped 2.7% over the past year. Jesus, you know, you were making $50,000. Let's just plug in $50,000 times 2.7 is $1,350. Now you can't bankrupt. You got to pay double your minimum credit card payments. You got 10% inflation, and your income has dropped by $1,350 a year. Now, most people say, well, I think it's just an incompetent Republican administration. Boys and girls, these people aren't incompetent. That's not your problem. These people have an agenda. These people are delivering you into the hands of the lions in the lion's den. That's what the bottom line is. Now the question arises, well, what are we going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about those 20 million Mexicans in the country. They don't want to leave. And the Congress doesn't want to stop them from coming in. So at some point in time, there's going to be 40 million. And then at some other point in time, if you just let it go on, there'll be 80 million. And then at some other point, there'll be 160 million. I mean, come on, guys. If you think that having foreigners come into your country is good for you, and you want to have a real melting pot, why don't you invite the Chinese? They've got 1.3 billion people. Why don't you say to the Chinese, look, we got a great big country over here with 3.5 million square miles, which is about the size of your country, and you got 1.3 billion Chinese over there. Why don't you just send over here about 300 million Chinese? We'll just open up our borders to 300 million Chinese and let them move into the United States. While you're at it, why don't you go to India and say, look, India, you've got a small country, you know, in geographic size, and you've got a billion people. Why don't you send 300 million people? Then you can have the United States of America with 300 million of our mixed multitude. Then you can have 300 million Chinese and 300 million Indians. That'll be 900 million people. What do you think that's going to do to the political structure of your society? Now, I've mentioned this in the past. I'll say it again. When God divided the nations at the Tower of Babel, he was not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. And you can see how integration is working in France. They brought in 5 million Muslims from North Africa. They brought them into work. Well, when France was cooking back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it made all the sense in the world to bring in all of that cheap labor. All right, now France is in a recession. And now you got 5 million Muslims, and they're not working. And they're mad as hell, and they're rioting in the streets. All right. Well, now that's what's coming to the United States. It will come to every country that practices this insanity called integration. Now, Muslims are fine people. And those Muslims and those Arabs and etc., they're entitled to their land and they're entitled to their inheritance and they ought to have it without our interference. Now, you go back 100 years and those Muslims were all living over there in Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Iran. I mean, they were all living there, weren't they? Now, we invited 7 million of them over to the United States. The French invited 5 million of them over to France. And, of course, we kind of invited ourselves into Iraq, Iran, and North Africa and all these other countries and kind of took over their real estate and caused a lot of hard feelings in the process. You know, what goes around comes around. But here's the point. These problems, these economic problems, these illegal alien problems over here are caused. They are exacerbated. They are stroked. They are encouraged, and then there's an ultimate end to it. And you and I need to be smart enough that we can avoid getting killed in the riots, avoid getting wiped out in the economic collapse, come out of this on the other side. You know, when Germany collapsed in 1945, that was a dark day for Germany. 5 years later, they came out of their collapse and organized their country under Konrad Adenauer. Today, who in Germany thinks very much about World War II and the period from 45 to 50? There will be another day. Argentina collapsed in 2001 and they're working their way out of it. Life continues. Those people in Argentina are still there. 4 years later. But boy, did they suffer some traumatic experience over the past 4 years. And that's my point. The thing that helps us get through this is the information that we get from the newsletters, the underground newsletters, because the mainstream press is burying us in lies and propaganda. So let me circle that one off. Now you got a 2.7% loss in income. Your economy is growing at a minus 1.9% a year. Inflation is running at 10% a year. You have to pay twice as much now on your credit cards as you did last month. And you can't bankrupt out of it. You can file for bankruptcy, but you can't bankrupt out of it like you could before October the 17th. And now the Congress is preparing to take away from you your interest deduction on your mortgage payment. And then you've got the ATM, the alternative minimum tax. If you're not paying tax, then you got to pay this alternative minimum tax, which is more than the income tax that George Bush said that he was going to reduce for you. Politicians lie a lot. And the guys that uncover these lies are the newsletter writers. Now, there's another story in here that you should be aware of. It's called market manipulation. Market manipulation began back in 1987, began in earnest under the Reagan administration. This isn't something that's Republican. This isn't something that's Democratic. This isn't something that's communist. It's incident to politics. It's incident to the New World Order. It doesn't make any difference how you vote. George Bush is called the fiscal conservative. We think of the Republicans as being fiscal conservatives and the Democrats as being wild-eyed liberal spenders. George Bush has spent more money. He has not vetoed a single spending bill in the 5 years he's been in office. He spent more money than any president in the history. He makes guys like Lyndon Johnson and Franklin Roosevelt look like pikers by comparison. And yet we thought he was a fiscal conservative. No, he's a wild-eyed liberal spender. That's the bottom line. Now, I'm not opposed to George Bush, and I'm not opposed to Congress. I'm not pro-Republican or pro-Democrat. Remember, we're non-sectarian. We're not pro-Muslim or anti-Christian. We just put out the facts. Here are the facts. And these facts come from these sources. I cite from the Wall Street Journal from time to time. I cite from Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report. They give us pretty good reports most of the time. But it's always with this thought in mind. It's the New World Order. We're headed toward this amalgamation of all the nations in the world. That's what free trade is all about. Free trade does absolutely nothing for Joe Sixpack working at General Motors. It exports his job to China and India. It impoverishes us. Do you know what they're proposing for you Delphi or Delphi employees? You're making $26 an hour under a union contract. They filed for bankruptcy, and you're going to be reduced to $10 an hour. $8 to $10 an hour from $26, and you're going to make these payments on your house, you're going to continue your life and your lifestyle. And this started with NAFTA and GATT under Bill Clinton. So don't blame the Republicans. It started with the Democrats. And Ross Perot told us in 1992, remember, in the election of 92, he said, this NAFTA thing is going to spell disaster for our economy and for our nation. And the people of America said, to hell with you, Perot, and we're going to vote for Bill Clinton. And we did. That was our choice. And this is the result that we get. You saw it with United Airlines. Delta is now quickly following suit. All the airlines are going to dump their pension programs on the federal government so that they can reduce their costs. And you people that were relying upon those pensions, that paid into those pensions, that were promised those pensions, are going to be screwed, blued, and tattooed. Now, is there a solution to that? Yeah, I say it's private business. I say to hell with the government, to hell with the unions, and to hell with the corporations, and let's concentrate on saving our own ass out of this debacle of and by ourselves and on our own. Now, that's my position. That's what I'm advocating. Save your own ass and let the corporations, the unions, and the government go to hell in a handbasket. Hang on. Let me give you a little piece of information. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, politics, religion, news, history, health, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network, or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website. It's georgegordon.org or call the Law School Direct at 417-273-4967. I don't know if I represent Bob Chapman's views either. He might listen to this program and cringe a little bit and say, oh my God, that guy is so far out in left field. I don't want to be associated with him. I think that's what Bill Buckler, I think that's his conclusion. So I'm going to give you Bill Buckler's name and address again. He's the guy that puts out the Privateer down in Queensland, Australia. And this guy puts out one of the best private newsletters in the business. That's my view. That's my opinion. And his name is William A.M. Buckler, Post Office Box 2004, Noosa, N-O-O-S-A, Heads, H-E-A-D-S, Queensland, 4567, Australia. Australia, of all places. Again, that's William M. Buckler, P.O. Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. And their webpage, www.the-privateer.com. Their email, capt@the-privateer.com. Now, I'm reading from, I'm giving you some excerpts. I sorted out 15 stories from the International Forecaster, October 2005, Volume 4. Well, it's actually Volume 9, and it's number 4, October, the fourth letter. It comes out every week. And this one here, let's just see how many pages are in here. 32 pages this week. 32 pages, jam-packed with stories, along with numbers and facts and figures from all over the world to tell you, here's what's going on. Now, you got to make a decision. What decision do you want to make? And I would contend that whether you're a truck driver, a plumber, a carpenter, an electrician, whatever the job that you're in, whether you're a businessman working for Donald Trump or you're a private entrepreneur, you need a source of information that can give you the other side of the story that you're getting out of the mainstream media. Now, there's an outfit called Kitco. I mentioned this last time. I'm going to give it to you right now. K-I-T-C-O. Kitco.com. That's their web page. Kitco.com. And there's a number of writers. Now, tomorrow, I will get the Mogambo Guru newsletter. It's about 8 or 9 pages. Comes out every Wednesday. And it's published on the Kitco.com website. Mogambo, his name is Richard Doty. And he lives down in Pinellas Park, Florida. All these newsletter writers, they don't all, but a lot of them live down in Florida because they make a lot of money. I guess they make money off their newsletters. And they live in Florida, down in Hurricane Alley. And they spend their time making money in stocks and bonds and in investments and gold and silver and buying and selling and trading, and they publish newsletters. And the one thing that they've got in common, what I call the underground press, is that they're all right-wing reactionary conservatives. That's the other side of the radical liberal press, or the rabid liberal establishment. So you get the story from George Bush and the radical liberal establishment, and then you get the right-wing reactionaries, and you put the two of them together, and you'll get an exact diametric opposite. I mean, these guys are like positive and negative when you hook up your battery jumper cables to the wrong posts on the battery and watch the sparks fly. That's how opposite these newsletters, these informants are. Now let me give you another story. It's called Market Manipulation. Pat McGrath, he's the director of Georgetown Economic Services, said 40 country trade data suggests China's actual trade surplus in 2004 was $278 billion instead of the $45.8 billion that Beijing reported. Now, this hopefully will persuade the U.S. Treasury to make a major policy change and formally identify China as a currency manipulator. The Chinese have been lying about their export figures about trade to the entire world. And, of course, this will be a difficult task for the administration and the Federal Reserve because they're manipulating all of the U.S. markets and the foreign markets as well. It's the pot calling the kettle black. And they just saw the PPT and the Fed hold up the stock market this week and suppress gold again. All right, that PPT is called the Plunge Protection Team, PPT, the Plunge Protection Team, created by Ronald Reagan back in 1987 when the stock market collapsed. And so they have what's known as the repo fund. And here in the International Forecaster, they report on how much money is in the repo fund. Now here's the way that works. They have about $80 to $90 billion of taxpayer money in this fund, the Treasury Department does. Now let's take an average typical day, and the Joe Sixpacks like you and everybody else are selling your stocks, and the stock market's going down by 100 points. I mean, it's just taking a bath. So the plunge protection team comes in. And they get on the telephone and they say, okay, we'll take $1 billion worth of those and $1 billion worth of those and $3 billion worth of those. And all of a sudden the market turns around in mid-afternoon. Now, in the morning, the market was going down, down, down. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the market is stabilized and it's going up, up, up. And all of a sudden, these stocks that you sold in the morning not only haven't lost any value, now they're worth $1.50 more than what you sold them for. And you say, God, I sold them too soon. I should have hung on to those. Now that's what's going on. That's a manipulated market. Only 8% of the American public deals directly in the stock market. All the rest of it are these hedge funds and these mutual funds. Banks and big institutions buying and selling these stocks. Now, these stocks over here make a lot of money. The Wall Street traders made $7 trillion on the collapse of the stock market in 2001. Remember when the market broke in 2000, March of 2000? All right, in that year, from March of 2000 to March of 2001, the market lost $7 trillion of value. That's the Dow Jones, the Standard & Poor's, and the NASDAQ. And then there's the over-the-counter stocks. They got a name for that, too. And all the people that owned those stocks and those mutual funds or owned stocks directly lost their shirts. And that's because we were dealing in unjust weights and balances. And remember, God told us, don't deal in unjust weights and balances. Deal in gold and silver. Deal in wheat, corn, beans, onion, and oil. Deal in property, boys and girls. And we came along and said, no, we're going to make profit and gain. God, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're missing. Well, we're going to invest $5,000 in Walmart stock at $50 a share. It's going to go up to $75 and we're going to sell it. Okay? Now you sold it to a guy for $75 and you made $25 a share profit. Well, the guy that bought it for $75, what's he going to get? Well, he's sitting there saying, I'm going to hang on to it until it goes to $100. And then I'm going to sell it and I'll make $25 profit. Okay. Now somebody bought it at $100. What's he going to do? Well, he's going to hang on to it until it goes to $125. This is called the bigger fool theory. At some point in time, boys and girls, the stock isn't going to go up anymore. Everything reaches its maximum. Let me give you an illustration. Social Security back in 1940. Social Security back in 1940 had 80 people paying in for every person drawing out. 80 to 1. 5 years later, 1945, the numbers had dropped by about half. It was 45 people paying in for everybody drawn out. By 1957, it was 16 to 1. By 1987, it was 3.5 to 1. Today, it's 2.7 to 1. And very shortly, it's going to be 1 to 1. I think it's 2020, it'll be 1 to 1. What's that tell you? Man, hell, you know, if you're sitting in your truck right now and you're cruising down the freeway, now start thinking about this, Bob. 1940, 80 people, just like you, were making your payments into Social Security for everybody drawn out. Today, it's 2.7 to 1. That's rounded off. Three guys are paying in That's you and two other guys are paying in, and one other guy over here is drawn out. And we're headed toward, in the year 2020, 1-to-1. One guy paying in, one guy drawn out. What's that tell you? Can you see why your taxes went from 1% in 1940 to 16% today, and the system by the year 2012 is going to be going into deficit again, and by the year 2032 it'll be $4 trillion in debt again? These are what we call Ponzi schemes. Good for the guys that are in up front and collect theirs. Bad for the guys that stay in it for the long haul and don't get paid at all. Boys and girls, we've already passed that point of no return. Everything that we're putting into Social Security, we aren't getting it back. It's being inflated away at 10%, and besides that, it's a Ponzi scheme. And when we get to the end of it, there's more people drawn out than there is paying in. Picture this. After 2020, when it's down to 1-to-1, pretty soon it'll be one guy paying in and two guys drawn out. And then there'll be one guy paying in and four guys drawn out. And then one guy paying in and eight guys drawn out. Boys and girls, I don't care how much you believe in Social Security, there comes a point in time when there simply will not be enough energy in your body to support, to feed, to clothe, to house 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, or 128 other people all by yourself. Now, this problem is coming to the fore in countries like Germany, France, and Italy, where their birth rates have declined over the last 20 or 30 years. We bought into this population control crap, and now we have people in Italy, for instance, they're not reproducing. And because we don't have any children coming up to support us in our old age with our welfare program, you've got people that are getting to be 60, 70, and 80. Japan's got the same problem over here. But instead of having five or six people paying in to support each one of these guys that are retiring, you've got one guy paying in and one guy drawn out. And there's not enough money. There's not enough energy. There's not enough resources for one person to support one other person in the society. Now, in America, you add to that 20 million people coming in here from outside the borders who are costing us an extra $1,800 per family. And then you take a look at General Motors. They have to earn $1,500 or $1,600 just to pay their pension fund and their fixed overhead before they make a dollar off of their automobile. Well, the Japanese car companies aren't saddled with that, and that's why they're taking market share. That's why the Japanese and other foreign imports sell more cars in this country than do the American brands. Not quite more. It's 53-47 right now. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler have a 53% share of the market, and it's decreasing every year. And they're outsourcing your jobs now to China and India and Mexico and all over. And they're reducing your pay from $26 an hour to $10 at Delphi. And hey, boys and girls, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the way the country's going. Make up your mind to it. But inform yourself so that you know what the hell's coming down on you. Now, let me give you the name and address here of the International Forecaster again. This International Forecaster costs $130 a year. If it sold for $260 a year, it would be 12 cents a page. Dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. And you can't get this information anywhere else. The International Forecaster at yahoo.com, that's the email address, that's two words, international and forecaster, two words, at yahoo.com. The International Forecaster is www.theinternational.com. Forecaster, all one word, .com. And the address is Post Office Box 510-518, six digits, 510-518, Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida. Zip code 33951-0518. Now, he tells us here that you got to have all nine digits in the zip code to get a letter to him. That's 33951. That's your zip code, dash 0518. Zip plus 4. All right, market manipulation. For many months, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been trading in a very tight range. At the end of last week, the Dow was off 8 of 10 days. The Dow days have been on much heavier volume than the up days. The down days have been on much heavier volume than the up days. This is classic distribution. We're also starting to see lower highs and lower lows, and we're now well below the 200-day moving average. The S&P that had held rather firmly is now leading the market down. Charts on retail, real estate, housing, and banking have all turned down dramatically. The chart on Walmart that makes up 1.5% of the U.S. economy looks like a dog's breakfast. As well, keep in mind, for all intents and purposes, the United States does not produce much anymore, and housing and banking are dominating the economy, and their charts are plunging as well. Take a look at Fannie Mae, which we have on our short list. It is a catastrophe. Everything is in place for the market to go lower. America is swimming in debt. There can only be one outcome, and that's painful economic and financial readjustment. And all you complacent Americans out there are in for a rude awakening. We will go down through 10,000 on the Dow like it isn't even there, and at 9450, 9500, there'll be some support. But it will be short-lived. During 2006, you can expect the market again to test the 7268 low, and we believe it will be broken with a bottom somewhere between 4200 and 6200. That should totally disembowel most of the pension programs in the United States. So if you've got a pension plan, boys and girls, you can just about kiss her goodbye. Take your savings that you're putting into your Krogs and your IRAs. With inflation at 10%, compounded annually, take a look at your losses if you can do that kind of higher math. It's been going on now for 3 years. Now, the government's been lying to us continuously for the past 3 years and telling us how the economy is growing at 3.5%. They give us all this good news. Unemployment is down to 5%. God, that's wonderful. I'm just thrilled to death. Employment's at 5%. That's what they tell us, but how do we know that's true? If the CPI and the PPI are rigged figures, and if the plunge protection team is supporting the stock market. And then we got another one that's just come into play. We're finding now that the United States has to have $3 billion a day of investment from outside of our borders. It means the Germans, the Italians, the Turks, and the Chinese, and Japanese, and everybody else in the world, has to come in here and buy $3 billion a day of our federal government's treasury bonds. It's not just the federal government, it's balance of payments and other numbers, but it's $3 billion a day. Where's that money coming from? Listen to this. Take 3 times 365. That's 1,095. All right. Do you know how much money there is in the world to lend? $800 billion a year. All right, so leave the 1095 in there and take 800. And let's do this again. 1095 minus 800. And it leaves you with a deficit of $295 billion a year. All right, now here's what I'm telling you. If you take all the money in the world, all of the profits, all of the money in the world that's left over after all of the business is done by 200 countries in the world, you come up with $800 billion a year. That's all the money that there is to lend out. And the United States of America right now is consuming $1,095 billion. There's $800 billion available, and we're borrowing $1,095. Now, how can you borrow $1,095 billion when there's only $800? So here's the way that game's being played. Down in the Caribbean, the Federal Reserve has opened some accounts in offshore banks. So the Federal Reserve, in its offshore banks, just writes out a check and buys these bonds. So the Treasury puts up $3 billion worth of bonds, and the Federal Reserve Front Bank in the Cayman Islands buys it today. Tomorrow, it isn't the Cayman Islands, it's in maybe in the Bahamas. And then the next day, maybe it's in Aruba. The next day, it's the Caribbean Islands. Boys and girls, there's no wealth down in the Caribbean Islands. The wealth is in China, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan. And they've stopped buying our paper. At least the Chinese have. Now that's called market manipulation. You're not listening to that. You're not hearing that on Bob Schieffer and the CBS Evening News. But you're getting it from the international forecaster, the privateer, and the money changer. Now these guys are liars, manipulators. And they're manipulating everything possible right now. The end is coming. The end is on the horizon. In the 1990s, the 1980s, the 1970s, we were preaching to the choir. We were saying, if we do some of these things, maybe we can turn this thing around. Maybe we can change things. Hey, boys and girls, there isn't anything that you or I or anybody else is going to do to change this now. We've already passed the point of no return. In airplanes, when you're flying an airplane from San Francisco to Honolulu, the halfway point is what you call the point of no return. If the engine quits, it's closer to Hawaii than it is to turn back to San Francisco. I mean, there's a point, you know, when you get out there so far, you either have enough gas to get to where you're going, or you ain't going to get there. One or the other. We've already passed that. There's no going back, and you haven't got enough to get to where you want to go. And there's going to be a breakdown. There's going to be a meltdown. It isn't something new. We had the same catastrophe occur in 1783. We had it occur in 1929. We're not strangers here in America to economic collapse. It's happened before, and it's going to happen again. Just like that Hurricane Katrina, you know, it hit New Orleans. It's hit them in the past. This was the bullet they couldn't dodge. And when you rebuild that place, it's going to happen to you again. Maybe it'll be 50 years. Maybe it'll be 100 years. We don't know. But it's going to happen again. So you might as well get ready for it. You might as well pay attention to it. And those that are the best prepared for it will live through it the easiest. If you want to maintain your standard of living, if you want to get through this without the same blood, toil, and tears that the other guys in your neighborhood are going to be spending, then you need to prepare. I can't think of a better way. Let me give you the name and number again. Remember, the privateer is at Post Office Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. You can go to their webpage. It's called www.the-privateer.com. And their email is capt@the-privateer.com. Over here on the International Forecaster, remember this one is internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. That's their email. That's two words, internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. And their email, or their webpage is www.theinternationalforecaster.com. It's all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. All right, next time we'll finish this up, and I've got 6 more stories to tell you from the International Forecaster. Stay tuned. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.